Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy as we come to the time in our service where we worship you as you've commanded us as a church to through the preaching of your word. Father, may you be honored, certainly in the way that I speak. I pray for my heart even while I speak, Lord, and I would imagine I echo the thoughts there of all of the believers here, for me as I deliver the word, but Lord, for all of us, while we listen to your word, while we read it and make application, we pray for the Corinthians 2 illumination of your spirit. Lord, convict us. May we be soft to your word. May we not be stiff-necked and hard-hearted people, Lord. We would not desire to be that way. Father, the text today, as you know, and many of us know here, is children, obey your parents in the Lord. And Father, may we understand this. We know that all scripture is inspired by you and profitable for us, Lord, for our doctrine and correction, for our teaching, for our reproof, Lord, and Lord, so that we could be the mature people that you've called us to be. And may we look at your word in that light today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, if you would, and open them to Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents. Word of God says this in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. A mother has her three children gathered around her, and the oldest child asks, "So, Mom, it's your birthday. What would you like for your birthday?" And the mom replies, "Well, son, I would like three well-behaved children." And the youngest replies, "But, Mom, there would then be six of us and not three." Sometimes children appear funny. And to us, and many of the things that they say, many of the things that they do, in fact, at times, we even buy into the lie that disobedience, it's kind of a cute thing. It's really not cute. It appears cute in the four-year-old. It's not cute when they're 30. But it appears cute. It really ceases to be cute pretty slow, pretty quickly, even after they're four. But it's like the child who leaves, he left on the counter one cookie. He got up at night and he saw two cookies on a plate, he sees a plate that has a cookie on it, and he eats that one cookie. And the mom said to him, "Son, you weren't supposed to eat the cookies on the plate. And I had left two up there, and now there's only one cookie on the plate." And the mother says, "Well, son, why did you do that?" And the son replies, "Well, Mom, it was dark. I didn't see the other cookie." Well, sometimes, you can think about that one. Well, sometimes these things, again, they do make us laugh. And there is a cute factor to it. I do get that. I understand from one perspective. But obedience is a very serious thing to God. It's very serious in the Word of God. In fact, it manifests whether we are controlled by the Holy Spirit or not, based on this text and others. It's so serious that disobedience, when you read through what the Word of God says, how do I know if I'm a Christian? You know, how do I know? Am I saved? Am I not really saved? When you read through those, disobedience is such a serious thing that it may, doesn't mean, okay, as Christians, we are capable of any sin, but it may simply be the fruit of an unregenerate heart. That's what our Bible teaches. So it's a serious thing. Are we saved by obedience? No. But for sure, as you read your Bible, specifically 1 John, you learn that obedience is a major issue and is a fruit that a person is saved. Obedience is very, very serious. At the root of the cuteness of sin in our children is this idea that they're not really bad kids. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go forward speaking lies and bringing forth wrath as soon as they are born. There are none good. That's what the Bible says. I've mentioned this before to you, this illustration. There's no terrible twos, right? What is the definition of a two-year-old? Sin with mobility. If you have kids, you know that they are selfish. You know that they are demanding. You really see your own faults. That's why parents get very upset with their children. That's a problem. It's one thing to see it in you, and you see it in the kids, and it's very upsetting. But praise the Lord, our children in Cornerstone have parents. Otherwise, children left to their own would self-destruct because of these. Ultimately, we self-destruct, left to our own as well. Many of us as parents are fully aware that our children's biggest need is salvation. That is the largest, the most important, the biggest thing that our children need. It's salvation. As a point of interest, this causes parents to simply want to hear a profession of faith. And many parents have even, you know, they get kind of pushy on the kids here. I've seen it. I've even experienced myself having that desire. And how do I find the right balance here? You know, to simply have the kid, you know, pray a prayer to God to be saved. And yes, do we hinder our children from coming to Christ? No, that's actually our goal, is to bring them in. In fact, we're commanded not to hinder them and to encourage them. We see that in the scripture in many places, Matthew 18, but there's a number of places where we would see this in the scripture. But are our kids saved because they say a sinner's prayer? Well, yes and no. I guess it depends how you interpret what I'm saying. But remember, a sinner's prayer never saved anybody. Jesus saves. There is a difference. So yes, when the heart behind the prayer is repentant and in submission to Christ's lordship, then we see salvation. They're just like you and me. But just because our child or anyone repeats some words, this doesn't necessarily mean they're saved. Now, this is hard for us as parents. I get this. Sometimes as parents, we miss the big picture for our children. So maybe someone here would say, but Jay, how do I know if the profession of faith my child made was real when he or she was X number of years, whatever it might be, old? How do I know if it's real or not? Well, seems to me that we know the same way that any other profession of faith is real or not. How do we know? Well, the Word of God's not silent here. It's by observation. Yes, a person on earth, we could never really know. I don't really know your heart. You could be faking it. I could be faking it. I mean, as far as we look at one another, there are things that would surprise me if they were true. But in the end, do we ever really know? No. But what did Jesus say? I will know a tree. He was not silent about it. Jesus said, I will know a tree by what? Its fruit. That's right, the fruit that it bears. See, the Word of God is not silent on these issues. It usually takes time for fruit to develop and grow. But if the birth is real, if it's really alive, that fruit will be there. Sometimes 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. But the Word of God is clear. It will be there. The Bible knows nothing of salvation that saves and does not change. The Bible knows nothing about salvation that gets people into heaven without repentance, without a turnaround in their life. The Bible is silent on those things. It doesn't know it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone in Christ, he is what? A new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And it's not just the old and the new. It's before that new creature. Proverbs 20:11. It is by his deeds that a lad distinguishes himself if his conduct is pure and right. Salvation was by faith in the Old Testament also. So it's not that Proverbs was written in some other dispensation that God was saving differently. No, salvation has always been. Look at Genesis 15. Romans and Galatians both quote it and reference it. It's always been by faith alone, in Christ alone, in the Messiah looking forward, the promise of God, always. So if you are a child here, one of the ways that you know and that whether you are saved or not, one of the ways is through obedience, but ultimately in the context of our verse, one of the ways if you know, if you are a Christian who's controlled by the Holy Spirit, which is not a command just given to older Christians. Okay, that's not a command given to Christians who are above the age of 21 or 18 or 30, because I was always told, I don't know, when I was 20, I was told I'd be an adult at 30. At 30, I was told 40, and we'll see. But the point is, if you are a Christian, no matter the age, we do see, at least for the child here, one of the ways that we know of your control of the Holy Spirit as a Christian is through your obedience. Again, the obedience doesn't save, but the someone who is saved will have a desire to obey. So as we get ready to consider Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, I want to remind you that God has always been concerned with our children's obedience. It's not just some weird, obscure text that I'm just preaching through here in Ephesians 6. And even if it was only mentioned once, it would still be true. But it's not just some obscure text. Listen to Deuteronomy 21. Check out the seriousness of the tone in Deuteronomy 21. This is the same God who inspired Ephesians 6. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it in fear. That's a serious text. We have mercy today from the Lord, in that we are not necessarily supposed to carry this out to that extent, and the result that we in the context that we are not part of the theocracy that was Israel. But there is an eternal truth here on the Deuteronomy 21 on the seriousness of obedience of a child. This was an important thing to God. God takes this very, very seriously. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word here for children means all children, not just children of a particular age. Sorry to crush your bubble there. In that vein, we are all somebody's child. We are all, if you are saved, our Heavenly Father's child, and there certainly is a spiritual application there. So there is a sense where this does not stop at 18 or 21. I don't say it doesn't change, but does not stop. There are other Greek words that could have been used and would have been used if this just meant children of younger age. Okay, this is not that word that's used. What the text seems to be saying is this: if you are in the place of a child, regardless of age, obedience is commanded at some level. Let me explain the primary principle that I believe is being taught here. In our society, yes, I turn 18, and everybody says, oh, well, now I no longer have to obey, whatever, now I'm my own person. Well, maybe, but the question according to our verse is, are you in the place of a child, yes or no? Well, how do I know that? Well, we can start with the college student, start to pick on the few that are here, just so happened that's a good illustration to talk about. Well, where do you live during the summer? Who's helping flip the bill? Who pays for that? You don't want to be a child? Well, just those are good things to think through. What does the word obedience mean in our text? It means to listen under or to pay attention to obey, to do what we're told to do. Of course, we do nothing. When you tell me to do something and God's word says to do something else, yes, even if you're the authority I need to listen to, I'm going to listen to God and not man. So we're not talking about that. But outside of that, we hear it, obey it, and act upon it. Children obey who? Your parents. Parents, many times, does refer to fathers, but it can also refer to the mother, which is why it's translated as parents here. I know in some translations it's fathers. But even in Deuteronomy, it says, he who doesn't obey father or mother. So maybe a smart older child here will catch the phrase, but Jay, it says in the Lord. So if my parents aren't saved or they're not acting like they're saved, you know, maybe they're not doing the right thing, then I probably don't have to listen. Well, no, because in the Lord, and again, sorry to burst the bubble here, but in the Lord isn't referring to the parents. It refers to you. It's referring to you who's supposed to obey, and it's how you're supposed to obey. It's in the Lord, okay? It doesn't mean, it has nothing to do with how your parents are. So if you are in the position of a child, you are to obey. Why? Because of your position before God, because of your relationship with the Lord. No different than a wife submits what? Unto the Lord. And the husband loves how? As Christ loved. Children who know Christ are to be marked by Christ, being Christ-like by their obedience. So if you are a child here who knows Jesus Christ, meaning you have fully trusted in Christ alone for salvation, and you are under the authority of your parents in some way, maybe it's money, maybe it's other things, and even if not, there is still an aspect here where you are their child. Even if your parent is out of control, even if your parent does not know the Lord or is not acting as if they honor God, you must obey because of your relationship with the Lord. I know it's bad news, but it is what it says. Obedience is something that manifests being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We all need to obey. Here in Ephesians 6, children, you must obey your parents in the Lord. Now, why? Why do we do this? That's what we're going to answer today. We have five reasons. The first one is most of our sermon. I promise the last four are very quick. So the first one is very simple, because it's commanded, because we're told to. Why do I pray? Well, one of the reasons is I'm commanded to pray. Okay, God said so. We could entitle this point just like that, because God said so. That's why. The word for obey carries the idea of listening actively. Let me just dig into there for a minute. What does it mean to actively listen? Well, maybe you guys have experienced this in your house. Son, take out the trash. I come back downstairs later, and some of you guys know where this is going. The trash is still there. And my son says, oh, I didn't hear you. Were you talking to me? You know, and I wonder, and maybe they didn't, you know, but I wonder how many children here, if they were honest before the Lord, it would have to raise their hand and say, you know, there are times, Pastor Jay, to be very truthful with you, that I have chosen to not, sometimes listening is a choice, by the way, that I have chosen to not hear. And yeah, I heard, but I kind of wasn't sure if I was being spoken to, and I just pretended like nothing was said. I wonder how many kids here would have to raise their hand there. Parent, you can see this in your child. Ask them to do something, and you get no response, right? They don't hear you. And then, in the same voice or lower, ask if they want to play the PlayStation or, you know, go for ice cream or whatever it is, or the Wii U or whatever it is that your kids like. Typically, you get a response to the second. What's the difference between the two? Figure that out. Obedience means you will hear and attend actively to what is being said. Parents, see, some of you kids are really happy now. You don't. You see, you think it might be nice to be in Pastor Jay's home, but it's not. Some of your children should be happy. You're not forced to undergo what my poor children are. Parents, we have to help our children obey. There's some ideas here. How can we do this? Well, one, make certain that what you say is heard. Secondly, make sure it's understood. If you tell your child to clean his room in the definition of him cleaning his room or you, what you think is cleaning his room is not clear, make that clear. You can't expect your child to obey when you are at fault because you haven't clearly communicated instruction. Your children are not mind readers, nor are you. Okay? So you need to clearly communicate them. Clear, tell them this is what needs to be done. Make sure that that's understood. It's not disobedience when I don't do what you want if I didn't really understand what you want. Just saying. Parents, eliminate these excuses. Make sure beforehand it's clearly understood. This is just free for today. Next week, we really dive more into the command for parents and mothers and fathers regarding their responsibility to their children. But it is all weaved together here in verses 1 through 4. Thirdly, parents, don't manipulate your kids. Don't manipulate them. How do I manipulate my kids? Well, threats. You know, I brought you Bill Cosby. I brought you into this world and I can take you out, you know. Or something, you know, on the other side. It's not the threat, but it's the bribe. If you obey, I'll buy you ice cream. If you obey, I'll buy you something. I'll do this for you. Don't bribe your children, okay? We reward our children at times, but they need to learn obedience. And if the only time I obey is for selfish motivations, that's a bad thing. Think about the people in your life who you know, who have that character. It's, again, it's very uncute when you're 30 and you've been trained to be that way. Okay, it's not cool. Children are to obey, not because mom and dad are so wonderful. Kids don't usually think this way. I know as they get older, you know, we lose the apple of their eye, so to speak. We're no longer, they're more sometimes equally as much as they were focused on how great we were when they were very, very small, you know, they equally focus on how bad sometimes we are as parents on the other end. And neither is necessarily the right way to look. But the people who most know my weaknesses and flaws in this room, other than my wife, probably my kids. They live in my home. If you lived in my home, you'd see those things too. But obedience is commanded by God. This is the first and paramount reason to be obedient, and there is a general principle that applies to every one of us here. Parents, sometimes we tell our children to do things, but we set them up. We don't always expect them to obey. Don't do that, okay? Because and here's what I mean by that. This is the inconsistent thing. So I've been working all day, and the kid maybe hasn't done what he's supposed to do, but I'm done with work, and I want to relax, and one of the things I like doing might be playing a game or a board game or a video game or whatever I like to do with my kids. But he's not supposed to be playing. He is playing. But he's not supposed to be playing because he hasn't obeyed the rules, and I'm inconsistent because now I feel like playing. And we teach them that sometimes it's okay to break the rules. It's never right to do wrong. Teach your kids that. It's never right to do wrong. And in that respect, yes, we can grant grace and mercy, but when the child hasn't done what he's supposed to do and the rules aren't there, don't be inconsistent. Like, sometimes it's okay not to obey me. I believe any person who is spirit controlled will be bothered through disobedience. Even if it doesn't bother you and your kids, it should. And let me promise you, it bothers God. I can promise you, based on the authority of Scripture, even in the things that we've read already today, God is concerned with disobedience. So again, do I obey to be saved? No. Is this a message of law without grace? No, not unless you think, however, I don't know the real percentage, but most of, 60% or so of the New Testament is written that way. Because you have all these commands, and that's not law without grace. We obey because of Christ, because of the gospel, because of salvation, which is a free gift of God apart from any works. And if you are a true child of God, then obedience must mark your life, Christian, young and old, because of the gospel. Sometimes parents allow disobedience because it's cute. Look, your child disobeying and saying no, it might make a really cute YouTube clip. And you might make it on AFV or whatever it might be. But in the end, it is not humorous to God. Those things are not funny. God commands children to obey their parents. Listen to this publication. This is the Minnesota Crime Commission. Listen to this. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch. Deny him these wants and he seizes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty. And he has no morals, no knowledge, and no developed skill. I wish the pulpits preached this well. This means that all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child will grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, and a rapist. That's the Minnesota Crime Commission. This wasn't even a church publication. Not saying that that's the word of God, but man, really interesting to see what the state of Minnesota wrote about children. So why do we continually make excuses to say obedience is no big deal? Well, my kid's basically good, really. No, he's not. But boys are just different, and no, they're equally disobedient. Children, listen to me. If you're a young person here, God's command for you is to obey your parents. Children, if you haven't asked God to save you, then you are unable to obey here. So you really need to be able to trust in Christ first. So if you are not a Christian, or if you're not sure, you can find me after the service, talk to me, or talk to your parents. They'd be glad to talk to you. I would as well. But let me tell you, the first thing you need to do is realize, okay, and my children could tell you this, I hope most of you guys can, are you a good child or a bad child? See, that's the first question. Well, the answer to that is bad, because you act selfishly. Because when you're mad, you only care about what you care about and not others. And then once you realize that, and you realize that you do deserve to be punished, that's the problem, then you trust in Jesus who died, who to take all of that punishment for you and all the bad things away so that you could be like you never did anything wrong, because Jesus never did anything wrong. And even after you die here on earth, you could be with God in heaven. That's what you must do if you are a child here and do not know Christ, before you can obey your mom or dad. That would be true of an older person here who doesn't know Christ either. We can throw fancier words and bigger words in that message to make it sound more adult, but at the end, it's the same. The gospel's the same. So once you do this, child, you could obey, because God will empower you with the Holy Spirit, who is actually God. The Bible's really, really cool. You know, trust me, and I like all kinds of stuff out there and fantasy and things that have big worlds and small worlds. I like fantasy, all kinds of stuff. But Pokemon, whether it's Pokemon, Hunger Games, Naruto, or whatever it is that you may be into, there is nothing that has the coolness and the depth of what the Bible talks about, okay? On top of that, the Bible stuff is 100% real, and it all adds up, and it is amazing in how it comes together. Secondly, not only is obedience a command, but let's go back to the in the Lord part, okay? Children, obedience is part of your relationship with God. So if you are a Christian, then obedience is part of your relationship with God. That's why you should obey. It's this thing that is as important as a wife's submission to her husband, or a husband's love for his wife, or the church treating one another properly. All of these commands go back to, in context, to Ephesians 5, 19 and 21. If you are not quick to obey, then it is a mark that you are not spirit-controlled. Biblically, when a person is saved, it is all of grace. But that doesn't mean he or she is released from their moral obligations. No. In fact, if you know your Bible, you are more obligated as a child of God to obey his commands, because actually his commands are to you. You can see, when you're not a Christian, Romans 6 says, you're slave. You are chained. You are shackled, as it were, to your sin. That's like the old radio program, Unshackled, right? And out of Chicago, about people's testimony of salvation. What are they unshackled from? Their sin. What are you free to do? You're free to obey. See, as a non-believer, you can't obey God. Get saved. You have to be saved. You have no hope. Colossians 3:20, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. So how do we teach this, parents? How do we teach this to our children? As a church, how do we teach this? Do you teach your children as they are able to understand why we do and do not do certain things? I'm really not a big believer, as much as I understand the Word of God and its command to us as parents. I'm not a big believer in the because I said so. As hard as I am in the obedience, and it's not okay to disobey in my home. It really is not. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. But I'm really not a big believer in the because I said so thing. At some point, you know, make sure you teach your children to know the Bible and why we do certain things. Why or why not? Yes, I don't discuss with my two-year-old when they were two, you know, oh, get out of the road. Oh, well, can you give me a biblical reason why I should get out of the road? You know, no, we teach first-time obedience. But as your children get older, do you explain to them, well, this is biblical when it boils down to it? You know, are your children able to say, well, we do this or we don't do this because we're trying to live a life that's well-pleasing to the Lord, and that's why we do or don't do things. You may be right, you may be wrong on your choice of movies, the TV, music, all these things, but are they anchored in the Word of God? And as you grow in your relationship with God and your rules morph in your home, and they will, and as those things happen, do you teach your children what we do or do not do in an effort to be well-pleasing to the Lord? Do your kids know that? Children, this isn't a way out for you. You need to obey even when mom and dad do not have good reasons or a good Bible verse or the one they gave you is out in left field. Sometimes we are guilty of obeying for the wrong motives. I don't want others to think bad of me, so, you know, I'm going to obey. Or I want people to like me and to be kind to me. I don't want to get into trouble. Parents, as you give commands, make sure your reasoning is anchored in the Scripture. And make sure you explain at some point to your children why we do and don't do. That's what you want anyway. Don't you want an adult to come out of this thing if all you want is children to be obedient because you don't want them to embarrass you, we need to talk, okay? But beyond that, isn't the goal, I imagine, of most of us here to have a son or daughter who is a jewel to our head, a crown to our head in our own age, as the Scripture would say? And how are they that? Because they are people who what? Love Jesus. Because they're people who love the Lord. Isn't that what we're after? Not just children who listen to the right thing or watch the right thing, even if they grow up and follow those rules. What does it matter if it's not because of a desire to really love the Lord? That's your goal. That's your motive. That needs to be at the heart of every form of discipline that you employ in your house. And that needs to be behind every reason why we teach our children to obey. Son, you don't treat your brother that way because God wants you to be kind, because God wants you to be tenderhearted. Son, were you kind when you spoke to your brother that way? Parents, teach your kids what obedience is really about. It's a love for God. This isn't an unbiblical view of law or moralism. This is what Jesus said in John 14:15. We read this in Sunday school today. If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. For those that believe in such things, it's even in red in your Bible. Thirdly, look at the end of verse 1. Obey your parents and the Lord. Why? Well, because it's right. Long before Dr. Laura, for those who knows who that is, said, do the right thing, the Bible said, obey because it's right. The righteous decree of a holy God says, obey because it's the right thing to do. Sometimes we think the most important thing we can do in our home is just keep the peace. My life would just be better. Well, that might be so. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. And all too often, I have seen parents given to the whims of their child simply to keep the peace. I think that's a more selfish way to raise children, by the way, than really loving them. I think that's the point of Proverbs there. Even nature itself teaches against this. You ever observe, like, cats? You know, when the kitten's out of control, what does the mother cat do? She goes and she grabs that kitten by the neck with her mouth. and she picks it up. I don't like cats either, but she picks it up and she brings it and she drops it. The same with dogs. You get the little pup who starts, you know, going out of control or going at mom. And what does mom do? You know, gives the little pup a good growl and sets it in its place. Okay? God has established that it is a righteous thing for a child to obey their parent. Yes, children here, you may be smarter than mom and dad, but it doesn't matter. This is about acting the right way. If you know the Lord, because it is right, you do that to please your heavenly Father, period. If you are a child who works hard in school, let me ask you a question. If you don't work hard, you should. But let me ask you a question. Why do you do this? Child, do you work hard in school? Do you do things so that you're rewarded by mom and dad? I hope not. You need to work hard because the Bible says we must be found as faithful stewards. That means you must use your skills, abilities, and talents, what God has given you, to the best that you can for the glory of God. If that's a C, then that's a C. If that's an A, then that's an A. But for the glory of God, you take your skills, abilities, and talents, and you do the best that you can. Everyone here, and especially children, do what God wants you to do. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Because you get something out of it? I hope not. That should not be the reason. But because you love your heavenly Father, because you love the gospel that saves you, because you love Jesus Christ, because he first loved you, Romans 5:8. Let me just read a few verses to you. Psalm 19. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Psalm 119:75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous. Verse 128. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything. I hate every false way. As Hosea concludes, it says this in chapter 14. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. It is right for us to obey God, to do what God wants us to do. It is right for children to obey. God said it, therefore it's right and righteous and the will of God. As we approach verse 2, we see a fourth reason why, and it's because it's honoring. Look at the verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of a promise. So Ephesians 6:2 reaches all the way back to Exodus and Deuteronomy to remind us of these clear moral commands from the moral law of God. It is God's will. The character of God doesn't change. Okay? And in these commands, the law of God, we see, through the law of God, we see God's holiness revealed. This includes children, obey your parents. In fact, it is interesting that all 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament with the exception of the Sabbath. Not going to talk about that. I'll let you wrestle with your own theology there, but it's interesting. But realize this, when Paul applies this command in the New Testament, there are a couple of things we need to make note of. One, look at what he says in verse 3, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you might be saying, well, this is different than what the Old Testament said, because the Old Testament said you will live in the promised land, okay? And it says here that you will live long on the earth. So it's a little bit of a change. There are two aspects here, which I think is the Paul's point and the New Testament's point here of honoring in this passage. When you honor somebody, there is a blessing that comes with it. So let me pose you a question. Is it possible to be obedient without honoring? Here's the illustration. You've heard me say it before. Son, take out the trash. So my boy grabs the bag. Okay, this is after he didn't listen to me, and now we're having a problem, right? So this is the continuation of that other illustration. And so now, you know, the boy grabs the trash, and he storms out, slamming the door. Was this honoring? Well, no. But did he do what I asked? Yes. Children, remember this outline. Here's your outline for obedience. You could write this down. Obedience is not just to be done immediately, though it is, and completely, but it is. It's also to be done sweetly. Okay, if you are a child who knows Christ, then obedience is done with the happy heart as a result of being in submission to the Holy Spirit, God Himself. Children, consider it a privilege before God to be able to obey your parents. Be like Christ, who said it was His meat and His drink to do what? The will of His Father. That's right. Fifthly, and in conclusion here, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? And here's what the verse we were just reading brings us here, because it brings a blessing. There's a principle here. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And I know if I wrote this, I would be accused of prosperity gospel, but it's in the Bible, so we can preach it. Is this a guarantee of long life on the earth? No. But the chances of you going a bad way are usually increased when you are disobedient to mom and dad. The countless teens who have gotten in that car or gone to that place that they weren't supposed to, in the end was death. Or the teen that gets wrapped up in a life spiraling out of control of lust and drugs or whatever it might be in the years of pain and loss that follow those choices. Many times this happens. Not all the time, but there's a principle here. Obedience not only can affect the quantity and the quality of life, but disobedience is a rebellion against God. The sad situation in many Christian homes today is that behind all of the unhappiness in the home, behind all of the screaming and pain, is a rejection of God's word when it comes to what God commands regarding obedience and our place in the home, whether it's husband, wife, or child. Many times in Christian homes, that's what's behind the unhappiness, the pain, and the screaming. If you are a believer here, adhere to God's standards. Even if your child does not know Christ, teach them to obey and teach them what God's law is. God's law is our tutor toward salvation for them, especially if they don't know Christ. Don't buy in the pop psychology that teaches, well, we just let our kids do what they want to do. There's like schooling like this. Oh, we just let the child do what he wants to do. Really, that's how you teach, that's how you train your children. You're going to let him design what he wants to do. I understand letting him have input and direction, but really, that's an interesting way to teach your kids. My children would like to learn playing League of Legends all day, which is a video game. Okay. Teach them God's, but God, Dad, it teaches us, okay. Teach them God's ways, His law. Teach them that they cannot be saved by obeying God's law, but that they need to turn to Christ. In fact, use their disobedience as an opportunity to point them to the gospel. It always is. Every time you have to discipline your child, it is an opportunity to teach them the gospel. Again, the law or our works do not save us, but the scripture is filled with the moral law of God and commandments given to believers, true children of God, to obey. It's all of grace, but as Ephesians 2:10 says, God prepares good works for us to walk in beforehand. That's what it says. That's what comes out of the grace of Ephesians 2, the salvation of Ephesians 2. That's not by works. Children, are you obeying the Lord in your life? Are you obeying your Heavenly Father? Person here who doesn't know Christ. You do wrong because you're powerless to do right. And you need to be saved. Find me after service. I would beg you, set the pride aside. Talk to me. Let me open the Bible and show you what it teaches, even if you've heard it before, on what it means to be saved. And Christian here, father, mother, parent, or excuse me, if you are parent, father or mother, and child. Do what's right before the Lord here in your respective positions. If you have no child and you're not, and this really in no way fits to you, your parents don't are not are in eternity at this point, and this really doesn't apply to you, you still can help others. You can encourage others. You can take today's sermon and pray for others. And for sure, there are general principles of obedience because we all have areas where we need to be obedient to our Heavenly Father, which stretches out to obedient on earth. So there are principles for us here. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, and we'll pick up here next week, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the perfect Father. Lord, I am so thankful, and I'm sure every father here who knows you, I'm so thankful that you do not discipline and parent in the way we do, Lord. The most godly parent here in Cornerstone, and I know it's not me, but Father, the most godly of us here, who's a father, is so infinitely far from your greatness and how good you are. We thank you for grace. We pray for wisdom, Lord. We lack it. We pray for all of the parents here in Cornerstone. Lord, a humility to understand we lack wisdom, but as James says, if any of us lack wisdom, let us ask of you, and you give generously. Father, we pray for wisdom. We pray for right hearts as we raise our children. Father, we pray for our kids. We pray for the sons and daughters that are sitting here, for the ones that know you. Lord, help them to develop a true relationship with you, a more meaningful, a right and deeper relationship with you, in greater submission to you, being filled with the Spirit, and that they would do right in this area of obedience. Father, for any of the kids here who do not know you at different levels of understanding, some are very young here, we pray that you would open their heart and mind to the gospel, that you would grant repentance to them, that they would ask you for salvation, not just repeating a prayer, but true, true saving faith, true repentance, Lord. I've seen it with young kids. And I've seen you save people of all ages. I've seen you save children more than others, at least in my observation. Father, I pray for the kids of this church. And I pray that you would help us as a church, the parents and others who get to interact with the children who don't know you, help us to teach them the gospel, not just rules, not just obedience for the sake of obedience. We don't want good kids. We want obedient kids who obey because they love you, Father. We want children who are saved, not good kids. Help us there. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.